Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for SportsNet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wayne Liu, speaking to you after the Raptors wrapped up 2021 with maybe a little bit too exciting of a game, considering the circumstances, but who are we to complain about anything? I mean, we are very grateful to be able to watch a basketball game, even though it was empty arena and, you know, the energy of the crowd was sorely missed. It felt like that game lacked intensity for a large portion of it, but the Raptors were able to generate their own intensity down the stretch in the fourth quarter for a 116-108 win over the Los Angeles Clippers. The Raptors winning the fourth quarter 34-21. I think their defensive energy was really strong, but most importantly, the two-man game between Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam was beautiful to watch down the stretch. And that was the primary way the Raptors were able to come back and finish this game out. I think you also got to give some credit to some of the other guys. I thought OG really got the push started at the start of the fourth quarter. Him leading that bench group along with Pascal at the start of the fourth quarter, we've seen those minutes to being so detrimental to the Raptors so far this season with the bench underperforming. And this was another game where pretty much everybody off the bench was a little disappointing outside of Chris Boucher. And OG got it started with a couple of steals, one for a breakaway dunk, another one which was ruled a clear path, and he split the two free throws, and then the Raptors got two more on that possession. So a three-point play there thanks to OG's defense. And then it was Pascal and Fred. And Pascal and Fred, the two of them tonight, combining to take a lot of the shots. 47 shots for the two of them, but both of them doing so pretty efficiently. Pascal with 25 on 10 of 20 shooting, Fred with 31 on 10 of 27 shooting, which is not as efficient, but he got to the free throw line 8 times. And it was a nice sight to see in terms of the Raptors being able to close out a game efficiently. That's been a problem of theirs this season, of so much discussion going on, and I think Fred has been central to that, right? Like, after the OKC game where it came down to the last shot and it got blocked and Champagne's, tip-in was like literally a fraction too late. And then the following night against the Nets and Fred having two chances to close that game out in regulation and that not going in. There's just been a lot of discussion about who should get the last shot, what's the last shot, all this other stuff. And tonight, I mean, forget who gets the last shot, really. It's really about what action and what play you're going to run. And the Raptors were able to turn to that Siakam VanVleet two-man game for a string of baskets down the stretch. And I think that it was really interesting to watch it live because even then, to me, it just seemed like the Raptors had a very clear idea of what they wanted to do. Like, Fred's mostly going to operate and then Pascal's going to screen. And, that was almost the most basic of basketball plays, but it was a very smart play because of the fact that the Clippers are a very switch heavy defense. So, if you're going to introduce that little ball screen, chances are you're going to get a point guard guarding Pascal. And Pascal just had it going all night in the post, did a really good job. It was really secure in the way he was able to carve out his position, catch the pass, and then make a quick move. Had a number of nice baskets, especially going to his left. He was extremely quick, driving to his left hand and finishing in traffic, getting to the foul line. That's actually the only area where he didn't really thrive tonight. Was he got to the free throw line 9 times, which is a great mark, but he only made 4 of 9. But, I just felt like that central two-man action there worked so beautifully. But the Raptors also were able to run variations of it. Like, for example, the primary look, I would say, was they get the switch. Pascal is going to post up a smaller player. Fred's going to string the ball out, make sure to get into Pascal quickly. Pascal's going to, take his time. He's going to obviously see where's the help defender coming from, trying to avoid the 3-second violations there. And the Raptors did have pretty good spacing around the floor so that, there wasn't someone waiting at the basket at all times. And then Pascal was able to make a quick move, score at the rim. Like, that was the primary look. But the Raptors also scored in different ways when they ran in the last minute there after the Raptors took the lead by 4 points. The Clippers come out and Terrence Mann, of all people, just chucks up a random three, sort of out of rhythm, out of nowhere, over top of Gary Trent Jr., and that cuts it to a one-point game, and the Raptors have to get it back, right? And what they do is they run the little ball screen, but instead of going back to Pascal, Fred holds it up top. He has Marcus Morris on him, brings him out to the perimeter, uses a quick crossover, drives past, gets his shoulders in between, and very, very smartly uses his body to shield against the bigger defender as he goes in for the layup. That puts the Raptors up three. The Raptors get another stop. And at this point, if the Raptors score, it's game over. It's almost exactly like that next game, actually, where the Raptors had these sort of similar scenarios where they just couldn't get the offense to go. This time, the Raptors were able to give Pascal the ball, running the two-man action with Fred. Pascal actually calls up the play. He draws. He calls up Boucher to come set the screen, and then Fred to set another screen, the little double drag at the top of the floor. And as Boucher rolled to the basket and as Pascal sort of moved to his left to engage the defense, Fred was able to slip out to the three-point line. And Pascal, with a very, very smart bit of recognition, making a hard move, then swinging the ball across his body to Fred. Fred catches it in rhythm, 4-3, knocks it down. The Raptors go up six, and that was the game. And just seeing the two-man game there was beautiful. It felt like the Raptors weren't just trying to get one specific shot. They were trying to run one strategy and see where the best place to go would be. And I think, generally speaking, that is the best way the Raptors can get their offense. I remember after that the Nets game, the discussion, especially because the Raptors got I think the game against Orlando was canceled. So, you know, there was a lot of time to fill in between. And I remember talking to Amy Otterberg, who has been doing a great job on the broadcast, by the way. Shout out to Amy and Matt Devlin. They you know, they showed a lot of love to this program in particular, especially when they talked about Serge's return and how, you know, Alex Wong was you know, interviewing Serge last night. And we played the interview today on the show. If you haven't seen it already, go listen to it. It's really heartwarming. But yeah, I mean, I remember talking to Amy about this, and I was just trying to get her to say, okay, who should take the last shot? Should it be someone else? Should maybe give Scotty a try? Maybe give Gary a try? You know, like, what do we do here? And I just remember Amy just kept coming back to the idea of you give it to whoever has the advantage. Depends on what the matchup is. And that's exactly the approach the Raptors played with tonight. And I thought it was really, really nice to see. Of course, you know, I think circumstances come into this game. You know, the Clippers didn't really have a reliable big man. Serge coming back was great, and it was a very emotional time, but I didn't think he looked very good on offense or defense at all. He's clearly still coming back from that back injury and wasn't moving great, wasn't really finishing too many shots down low. Fred blocked him down low. So, you know, and he only played 18 minutes, and I don't think he was closing. In fact, I think Amir Coffey, who was going to be another one of these bench guys to single-handedly outscore the Raptors bench. Tonight, he didn't manage to do that. He had 15. The Raptors bench had 18. But Amir Coffey, who's a 6'8 kind of wing, was out there to close. And so the Raptors had a chance to attack a defense that had no real shot blocking. They were mostly switching to try to keep guys in front, but the Raptors had guys who can attack switches. And that's what they did. But, I mean, look, ultimately, you know, it was a nice performance from the Raptors, who had to sort of generate their own intensity out top, which I think is going to be the biggest adjustment for them as they continue to play in the empty arena at Scotiabank Arena. Is just that, like, it's odd. It's even odder than when they played a lot of the games last season, because at least in those settings, you know, they had a lot of these tarps that would just kind of cover up the empty seats and kind of give it at least a little bit of a backdrop rather than just seeing like completely empty arena. But I mean, there's no really getting around it. Like, the only people in there are people working the game, whether that's media, whether that's security, whether that's, you know, coaches, just, you know, just general people working the arena and wiping the floor and stuff like that. And then it's just family members of pretty much, you know, the players. That's it. And so, as you can imagine, in an arena that seats 20,000, it's a little odd to be in there. It felt like there might have been no more than like 200 people in there, not including the players. But, you know, the struggle there is just generating that intensity. How are you going to play hard? How are you going to sort of commit to, you know, your craft and still come through and sort of be, you know, be as professional as possible and try to put together the best effort. And I thought for stretches of the game, the Raptors just really couldn't get together defensively. It felt like they couldn't even summon the intensity to stop the Clippers. The Clippers got a ton of threes in the first half. The Clippers were doing a really good job of moving around. There was no number one option, really. I would say if they had a number one option, it was mostly Marcus Morris, who got a lot of ISO clear outs in the mid-post area in the fourth quarter. And he did knock down a fair share of jumpers. That's something he can do pretty consistently. But, you know, they did a really good job of playing the team game, whether that was Eric Bledsoe, you know, driving and setting the table for others, whether that was Reggie Jackson splashing in threes, whether that was Luke Kennard driving and kicking. He did a really good job tonight on that front. Although when I look at the box score, he was a minus 18 in 40 minutes. So maybe he didn't. But, you know, it's just a lot of guys swinging the ball and attacking closeouts. And especially in the first half, when the Clippers were shooting 50% from three, it felt like the Raptors just didn't have a good grip on the game. And then when, you know, they went into half, the adjustment was obviously, okay, let's try to run these guys off the three-point line a little bit. Let's close out a little bit harder. The Clippers did a really good job of attacking those closeouts and making the next pass, making the next play. And it just didn't feel like the Raptors were able to get their intensity on defense until the fourth quarter. And I think that that's where Nick really had to struggle here in terms of finding the right combination that would give him something defensively. Because Nick actually played a lot of guys tonight, pretty much everybody who was healthy and available, who was on the regular roster, not the 10-day except you know, contracts, pretty much all of them played. When you look at the fact that you got your five starters, which tonight it was Pascal, OG, Kemba, Fred VanVleet, Gary Trent Jr. Mostly that was the lineup because of the fact that Scotty Barnes apparently picked up some right knee tendonitis. So he was out, but he was on the bench and loving it. He was providing the energy, honestly, the rookie from the bench. But then when you look at who actually came off the pine for the Raptors, originally it was Chris Boucher, it was Yuta Watanabe, it was Fee Mihalik, you know, Precious Achiuwa. Those were the four regular backups. Malachi Flynn got a stint in there. He was not very good at all. Just too small. Guys shooting over him, you know, him trying to make a stop at the rim. Guys are just layuping over him, not really making a lot of plays happen. And then when it came down to the fourth quarter, Nick decides to scrap that. He puts in Justin Champagne. And Champagne, I thought, had a really nice stretch down the, you know, in the fourth quarter with his hustle, working the baseline as he always does. He just has such a good knack for cutting in behind the little spaces and getting the offensive rebounds. And Champagne basically got the Yuta minutes. Yuta was not very effective tonight at all. That only one rebound in 13 minutes, no blocks, was a fraction late on a couple of plays at the rim where he's usually there to create some to get some deflections or blocks or stops, forcing some misses. He was a step slow there. And then offensively, he was really, really poor. I mean, missing an open three, missing a, you know, attack the closeout, gets in the mid-range area, pull up, miss that. And then most importantly, he missed back-to-back layups in transition where he was blocked by Justice Winslow. And that was a very forgettable game, a forgettable sequence for Yuta. So Champagne gets a chance there in the fourth quarter. And I thought he did a really good job bringing some intensity. And I thought Chris did a really good job bringing some intensity. I thought over the start of the game, it was like, okay, you know, a couple of things here from Chris didn't really seem great. Obviously, I wasn't expecting 38 or 28 and 19 the way he did against the Sixers. But I was expecting a couple of the hustle plays. But instead, what you had was like, you know, he would flash through the lane and try to get, I guess a post up against a shorter guy, even though you don't usually think of him as a post player. Pascal throws in the pass. Chris bobbles it. It goes out in transition. The Clippers score, and then you have other sequences where Chris is just guarding a guy at the top of the floor and they're just driving end to end and getting the foul at the rim. Like, I just thought that earlier in the game, Boucher was part of the problem along with the fact that the rest of the bench was also just really poor. But in the fourth quarter, Chris and Champagne, I thought, gave really good energy, especially on the rebounding front. Chris coming up with, you know, three or four key defensive rebounds. And, you know, also him crashing the glass on a miss by Fred in transition. That was key. I think the game was tied there, so Chris was able to put them up two with about, you know, a few minutes left in the fourth quarter when every single basket counts. And Champagne was also there for a little putback around the basket. Like, those kind of guys were able to bring you some energy around the fact that you do have a couple of core guys who were playing really well. Like, it was one of those very efficient games from your big three, if you can call them that, which I don't think anyone has. So I'm not going to, really. But, you know, Fred was really strong throughout the course of the game. And in the third quarter, when the Raptors were sort of leaking oil a little bit and they were down, it was Fred who was sort of pushing them ahead, you know, making a couple of plays in a row, whether that's a pull-up three off a high screen where the Clippers miscommunicate and leave Fred open. The big dropped. You're not supposed to drop against Fred. He's definitely a pull-up threat. There's another play where Fred was able to close out on Amir Coffey, forced a miss because the closeout was so good. The long rebound bounces out from the three-point line back out to the free throw area. Fred's the one there, even though he's the smallest guy on the floor. He chases down the miss, and then he takes it the length of the floor, beats three Clippers in transition for the layup, and I think the Clippers had to call timeout there because, I mean, come on, you just can't let that happen. But Fred was really kind of carrying them in the third quarter, but yeah, Pascal down the stretch was sensational. And OG, honestly, OG, him coming back off the off health and safety protocols, I thought originally, okay, this was going to be a bit of a shaky game from OG when you looked at some of the threes that he was missing. He had a lot of open looks in this one. He went 3 of 7, so that's not even a bad percentage whatsoever. But it felt like he was getting a lot of open shots and missing them. Most of them, when you look at the misses, it was front rim. And I think for him, he just needed to find his legs a little bit, find the arc on the jumper a little bit, because it was just a little bit short. And then eventually he did find it, because in the fourth quarter, he was excellent. When you think about the fact that the Raptors, again, they need some of the starters to go carry the bench guys. OG did a really good job of that at the start of the fourth quarter. In addition to the fact that, you know, he took the two steals I described earlier, but he also knocked down two threes and got to the free throw line four times for 11 points in the fourth quarter. And he actually ended up being the Raptors' leading scorer in the fourth. So just a really nice push from the team overall. And I think this is not going to be like the most impressive game, considering the fact that the Clippers were missing Kawhi. Obviously, he's been out all year since he's had offseason surgery, and Paul George is out for the next month. And, you know, the Clippers, they're on the road. They're only 500 right now. Like, it's, you know, they've had to play a lot of guys who are on hardship exceptions. You know, it's not like you're beating the best version of the Clippers, not even close. But at the same time, the Raptors, I think for them coming off this stretch here where, you know, they were really poised to make a hard push, get themselves over 500, a lot of games at home, the schedule getting a little easier. And for them to be disrupted with all these cancellations and you know, 10 players going to protocol and being forced to play that random game against the Cavs that didn't need to be played, and the Raptors just get an automatic L for that. Like, they kind of needed something like this. And that's why you can feel good about it, because not only did the Raptors execute down the stretch, not only did they close this out, not only did they finish the year with a win, you know, I think this just kind of sets the tone for them a little bit, because you're going to be playing in empty arenas at home, and the Raptors play at home 8 of the next 9 games. You got to be able to, you know how to be in those circumstances. And I thought over the course of the game, they learned how to do it. They kind of generated their own intensity. And then, of course, everyone looks good on offense when you're able to really run things efficiently and be smart about the whole thing. We don't have to talk about, okay, who's getting the last shot, all this other stuff, when guys are just making smart plays. So a really nice and professional win for the Raptors. And the, you know, there's a lot of other things I want to touch on, including, you know, Serge's return, how he looked, you know, his reception or lack thereof, honestly, to the the tribute video that the Raptors played for him. Is obviously the circumstances not ideal whatsoever with an empty arena. In his long-awaited return, talk about some of the bench guys who featured in the game, talk about Knicks rotations, and sort of see how that could continue to look as the Raptors get more bodies back and Nick has to make more of these adjustments. But we're going to take a quick break right here. You're listening to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On the other side, we'll talk about Serge, we'll talk about the Raptors bench, and we'll try to close out 2021. Welcome back to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wayne Malou. Continue to recap the Toronto Raptors' 116-108 win over the Los Angeles Clippers. So first off, the storyline heading into this game was Serge Ibaka's return. And, you know, again, I urge you to go listen to the episode that we did of the Raptors show this Friday. Or at the very least, go search up the solo podcast that we did. We brought it out with the interview with Serge. And yeah, man, first off, salute to Alex. That was a great interview. He's got a great relationship with Serge. And, you know, I know for a fact that when those two get together to make content, it's always something good. But I mean, look, I think for us, it was just a great time to sort of celebrate Serge and sort of what he meant to the city. And, you know, I would say, it's not like all the good times left when Serge left, but at the same time, like, you know, those two things have coincided. And honestly, the Raptors have missed his presence. Now there's a question as to sort of, can Serge get back to that level as a player, but we know who he is as a human, as a person. And it was a great celebration of him coming back to Toronto, him getting back home. Unfortunately, can't really spend New Year's Eve in Toronto, considering the Clippers got to play another game. So they got to get on a flight to New York. So that's tough, but I mean, listen, that's just kind of what you sign up for when you play for the NBA. But yeah, I mean, you know, it was nice seeing Serge. You know, it was a lot of smiles, seeing former teammates go up to Serge and greet him. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of love there, you know, him and Pascal walking off into the tunnel together, smiling, you know, Fred, honestly, Serge is just a good guy. Like, he literally, I think one of the last shots that we saw on the broadcast of Serge, because everybody was walking down the same tunnel to the locker rooms, was Serge putting an arm around the Raptors trainer, Scott McCullough. You know, and yeah, he's just kind of that kind of guy. He really has great relationships with everybody. I saw before the game Serge and Nick having a moment and talking to each other. I mean, it's just a great time to see him. And I think the unfortunate thing is just maybe not unfortunate because I really dislike the Clippers, but the unfortunate thing on a personal level seeing Serge is just that, like, he just doesn't look like the same player he was before. You know, I think the back injury obviously cost him like almost all of his season last year. Didn't get to play in the playoffs. And then him coming back has sort of been a long stretch here, and he hasn't really looked that good. But yeah, it's just, it seemed like his foot speed wasn't there at all. Like, when you compare it to what it was in like 2019, it was totally different. You know, he even had a mid-range jumper today. And I think part of it is, look, he doesn't have great point guard play to play with on the Clippers. You know, the way that, you know, Serge and Kyle had that two-man game working, even Fred and Serge had that two-man game working. I don't know what two-man game the Clippers are going to run for him, but there just isn't that, you know. And we know, having seen Serge here so often, especially in the last couple of years, you run a pick and pop for Serge, it's like you're getting a really good shot every single time. And the Clippers only ran one of those for Serge. I think it was in the fourth quarter, and Serge caught it. Maybe it was not the cleanest pass. He had to sort of like collect the ball rather than it just kind of popping into his pocket. And yeah, Serge missed a mid-range jumper about as badly as I've ever seen Serge miss a mid-range jumper. So It was tough, man. It was tough. And to be honest, like, the Raptors really, I mean, I know Fred joked about it, you know, I guess yesterday before the game leading up, you know, in practice, talking about, oh yeah, Serge is old, you know, maybe I could test his knees a little bit, see what's going on. I mean, there's a little bit of truth to some of these jokes, you know. It's like when Fred made that little joke about Westbrook, about the stat padding and stuff like that. Like, yeah, it was a joke, but it was some truth in that thing too. And it was the truth in this too, because, you know, seeing Pascal go ISO against Serge, you know, shake him left to right. Yeah, I mean, Pascal definitely came out on top in that matchup. I think he got around Serge for an and-one, kind of left him in the dust. But, I mean, honestly, it was a great moment. And the only regret is sort of seeing how anticlimactic, I would say, the in-game tribute was for Serge. Obviously, it being an empty arena, I mean, that's unfortunate. I think they did a really smart thing by showing the tribute video on television as well, so we can watch it. And it was a really, really well-made video. A lot of, you know, Serge's highlights here. Honestly, there's just so many. I would say there's probably like 50, 60 scenes in that like minute and a half video, which is already pretty wild when you think about it. But between all the iconic plays, the iconic outfits, the stuff he was doing off the court, How Hungry Are You made it in there. You know, the fashion show made it in there. Him going to Rosan made it in there. Him lifting the championship made it in there. All that kind of stuff, right? But I think it was interesting because they did a split cam of the tribute video and then the reaction single shot on Surge. And because there wasn't fans in the arena sort of cheering it on, like Surge was just really focused. Like he was just trying really hard to listen to Brian Shaw, who was the interim head coach today because Ty Lue tested positive, so he couldn't coach the game. He was just like listening intently to the coach and while kind of just like rubbing his thigh, just sort of keep himself loose. So, you know, there wasn't much of a reaction, you know, even when they said thank you and they did have Herbie Kuhn in the arena announce it, Serge didn't really even put a hand up or anything. Not to say like he wasn't, you know, trying to soak it in or anything. It's just that two things. One, it's just not the same when there's not like a standing ovation for like a minute for Serge, which there should have been. But it's also just not the same because for Serge, he's just really locked into what he does. He's a real serious basketball player. And yeah, I mean, I think for him, he's probably a little bit disappointed in the sense that he probably wish he had a better game and, you know, all that stuff. I mean, he did block OG, which for him must be nice. Obviously, we know that him and OG are close, as he talked to Alex about it on the podcast today as well. But yeah, Serge returning. And, you know, just like most things in the pandemic, wasn't the same. Let's just say it didn't hit the same. In terms of what was the same, though, I think the Raptors bench continues to be a letdown. I mean, today might have been one of the worst performances in terms of guys coming in and not giving you much. Chris was really strong in the fourth quarter, so he's going to be excluded from this, even though I thought the first three quarters he was giving them very little as well. But when you look at, you know, what Precious Achiuwa did in 9 minutes, you know, not a lot, I would say. Minus 12 in 9 minutes. Utah was hugely disappointing, as I detailed the fact that, you know, he was late defensively. He did get blocked back-to-back. Malachi coming in and just having no impact at all. Like, and I think that's the thing that's really concerning is like, I think, you know, people can make all these excuses or people can contextualize like you. And I think not to say these are excuses, context is very important. But at the same time, like we saw in the game against the Sixers coming right back, playing 32 minutes, getting into the starting five. So not only is he just like playing with more talented guys in the starting five, instead of playing off the bench where guys are inconsistent. Not only is he getting that chance to play with better players, he's also playing extended minutes, 2 of 12 in that game, only knocked down two catch and shoot threes. You know, that was disappointing. And then tonight, 5 minutes, did nothing, honestly. I mean, he had a nice block in transition. One of those Fred blocks where he's down low and a big's going up with the ball and he reaches in and swipes it. It's more of a steal than a block, but whatever, it's a block. It's a nice play defensively either way. And that was good to see, but just not much impact offensively. During that time. But of course, it's also hard because when you're asking him to sort of create something, mostly it's going to be a pull-up jumper. And that's just not the best shot the Raptors could get in most cases. And then not the best shot also definitely applies to Svi, who 1 of 3 from three tonight, split a pair of free throws, was, I guess, active on the glass. He got a, you know, a put back and, you know, that was cool to see. But the stretch there in the third quarter where the Clippers were pulling ahead, the bench was scoring, and guys were playing well off that bench. When you juxtapose what you saw on that front versus what you saw from the Raptors bench, whether that was Utah getting blocked back-to-back or Svi missing back, airballing back-to-back threes, both open, one less open than the other, but both open, both very clean looks for a shooter whose only job is to make threes. We've gone from, you know, bouncing off the rim to air balls. Like, I don't know what you're really supposed to do with that position at this point, right? So that's why the Raptors were using some different lineups there. Saw OG playing a little bit of de facto two. Saw Gary obviously getting the lion's share minutes at 231 minutes. Not a great game for Gary. Took an ill-advised three in down the stretch there. He was semi-open and it was in transition, but that's a three you take, let's say, in the first half. You know, when it's sort of a more loosey-goosey kind of game rather than in the fourth quarter where every basket counts, taking a quick three like that with no rebounders in position when you're just coming in off the bench and, you know, Pascal and Fred have the hot hand, that's it felt out of turn, right? And that's what I would say about that shot. But, yeah, I think that's the position that if the front office is going to do anything, at least in the short term, to sort of try to address something, or not even in the short term, let's say even in the offseason, you got to bring in more guard depth. The guard play on this team can't just be Fred and Gary. That's it. Like, they, you can't just have two good guards. And those guys are doing as well as you can possibly expect from them this season. They're playing heavy minutes, they're playing defense, everything. But then when you bring in guys like Malachi and Svi, or even Delano coming off the bench, even he disappointed me because, I mean, it feels like some of the basics elude some of these guys. Whether that's Banton driving in for a layup, having the length to get to the rim, which is nice, but then missing the point-blank layup, that's disappointing in 3 minutes. When you have him coming into the game and he's just trying to set up the play on an, off an inbound, and he's unable to even inbound the ball, he ends up throwing it to Boucher near half court with Boucher out of, off of balance. Boucher almost commits over and back, has to throw it back in. The Clippers get the turnover. And it wasn't like the Raptors had a big issue with turnovers. They only had committed 7. But at the same time, it's like, you got to be more serious when you come into the game. So that's why I really do applaud the effort that Champagne came in with tonight. The fact that, you know, he, I don't think he was expecting to play. He's been out the last couple of games, right? And, it was ruled a non-COVID illness. And he comes in for 10 minutes in the fourth quarter, and he gives Nick something. He was solid defensively. He was not over-fouling. The one mistake he did make was he was in the corner and attacked the closeout, but his footwork wasn't good. He stepped out of bounds. I mean, that happens. Like, that's a normal play. But he played hard. He was on the glass. He was in his. He was doing his role. He was boxing out. He was working that baseline for second chance opportunities, and that's what the Raptors need. Like, it's. I don't know. I sound like a broken record sometimes when I talk about this bench, but it, genuinely speaking, this bench is bad. And so, really, the only solution is you get Scotty back in, and you start to have to play less of these guys just because of the fact that you have your starters available. But you can't. I mean, especially in this season, which team in the NBA has had the luxury of having all their guys available all the time? Like, that's not realistic, and not even in a regular season, but especially in a pandemic season, that's just not going to happen. And what you're going to need is one of these bench guys to come in. Like, when I watch the Clippers, like, they're down a couple of bodies, right? Couple big bodies, let's be real. Zubac, the starting center, is out. Kawhi, they're starting, their MVP is out. Paul George, their MVP this season, is out. You know, maybe I'm missing a couple more guys. I'm not really sure. But, you know, what do they have? They have starters, you know, have the bench guys coming in and filling up, you know, key roles here, right? Luke Kennard gave them a pretty decent minutes tonight. Terrence Mann gave them some decent minutes tonight. And then when you look at the bench, Eric Bledsoe, I'm not even that impressed with Eric Bledsoe in general, but he comes in and gives you 6 assists in 17 minutes as compared to the 1 in 5 minutes for Malachi. You know, you look at Amir Coffey coming in and scoring. Who was that? I don't really know. But he comes in, he knocks down threes, he's playing hard, he's driving into the hoop. You know, he almost single-handedly outscored the Raptors bench. You know, and even Justice Winslow coming in and giving you blocks and giving you defensive plays, 2 steals, 2 blocks, you know, making a couple of baskets, including a little bank jumper in the fourth quarter. Like, that's just the kind of stuff that the Raptors need to eventually get. And to me, I obviously, some of these guys, like Bledsoe's a vet in this league, he's played a long time, he's been a starter, been on playoff teams. You know, Winslow was a former lottery pick, played on some winning teams. You know, Keon Johnson is a first rounder, but like, the Raptors, it's not like the benches has that much less talent than some of these other teams. So it's really just about them coming in and having a standard of play. And the most disappointing thing to me is just, you know, whether it was Utah, whether it was Precious, whether it was Fee or Malachi, these guys didn't come in with any intensity, right? You would expect your energy to be better off the bench than as a starter. Starters got to play a long time. They got to play 40 minutes. You know, Pascal 40, OG 36 coming off the COVID, Fred 39 coming off the COVID. Like, that's a lot of minutes. But they're playing much harder than the bench, who comes in for 5 minutes, 6 minutes. Sometimes that's all you get, and they're not even focused. Like Banton was not throwing a pass, you know, a bad inbound pass. Like, you know, that's what I want to see more in terms of New Year's resolutions for the bench. Just come in the game as a collective. I don't expect anybody to score more than like 6 points, but just don't let yourself get outscored by one guy on the other team and play some defense. Come in, play hard. Not a lot is expected of them, but still somehow they go under the bar. But alas, like, you know, we Nick found the right combination, Champagne and Boucher, to complement the starters down the stretch. And they were really good. They were really good in their roles, just playing hard around the central pieces for the Raptors, who were able to close it out, you know, again. And yeah, that mostly does it for the podcast. So before we wrap up the last show of 2021, I'm going to give out the 3 stars and the Gerald Henderson Award. The first star for me in this game has to go to Pascal Siakam. 25 points, 19 rebounds, including 4 on the offensive end, 7 assists, 10 of 20 shooting in 40 minutes, 2 steals, 2 blocks, including a really, really nice chase down block after he turned it over. He like ran the length of the floor, and I forgot who he blocked, honestly. Maybe Terrence Mann, but wow, that was such an impressive play. I think Pascal is really close to being back to where he is at physically. He looks really sharp. His endurance is really strong. His defense is starting to pick up. Still a couple of plays here or there where you're like, I wish he played more with his feet than with his hands. Don't give up some cheap fouls, but only 2 fouls, plus 22 in 40 minutes. I mean, awesome, awesome, awesome performance. So great for Pascal. Great to see him back on track. An all-star worthy game from Pascal tonight. Their second star for me is going to go to Fred VanVleet. 31 points in 39 minutes, 10 of 27 shooting, 4 of 13 from 3, 7-8 from the free throw line. But most importantly, the 9 assists, the 2 steals, the block, only 1 turnover during all this time. And of course, the two-man game has set out top between Fred and Pascal worked to perfection. 4 plays that resulted in baskets where they ran variations of the same action, and they got a lot of good looks to allow them to close out the game here tonight. And then your third star, giving it to OG Anunoby, very sharp in his return. 26 points in 36 minutes, 8 of 16 shooting, 3 of 7 from 3, 7 of 8 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 4 steals, only 1 turnover. I thought OG got the mid-range game working really well. You know, it was like they were playing Smash Bros, because it was Duck Hunt out there. Whenever it was against Luke Kennard, it was like OG with Luke Kennard on him. Let's find him. Let's post him. Turn around jumpers. Put him in the post. Get him to the basket. There's a couple plays still. I do wish OG could like recognize the play sequence a little bit better. You know, if he's in a crowd with like 3-4 guys, him muscling up to go up for the finish is going to be difficult. You're mostly relying on the whistle there. And if you don't get it, then there's a good chance that, you know, they're able to break the other way. But OG was awesome tonight, especially those 4 steals. The 2 of them were very key to start the Raptors' push in the fourth quarter to get back in the lead and to go ahead for good. So those are your 3 stars. Your Gerald Henderson Award winner tonight has to go to Amir Coffey. 28 minutes for him, 15 points. You know, didn't do too much else besides the scoring, but the scoring was very, very key. It was frustrating at times. How he was carving up some of these guys, and honestly, like, good for the Clippers. They're actually pretty good at finding some of these end of the bench guys who are able to come in and sort of, you know, develop in their system and their program. And I don't know if he's going to be a rotation piece for them when everybody's healthy and everyone's available, because they have so much depth at the wing, especially with literally Paul George and Kawhi. But in the meantime, today he was great, 15 points. So that does it for the Reaction Podcast. Thanks everyone for listening. Once again, thanks to Matt and Amy for talking about the show. Obviously, I mean, most importantly, thanks to them for coming on the show. We've had them both on the show many times already, and hope to do so more so in 2022. But it's just, we've gotten so much love, and I think that's for me personally, when I reflect back on 2021, I think that's the thing that's really awesome to see that. There's something that I've worked really hard on, and that it's caught on this bigger audience, and for a lot of people who maybe not even heard of me or Alex, we're not former players in the slightest. Let's be real. If you've seen us play, it's not good. But to be able to, you know, join in on the community, to build that community, to have all this access to players. I was thinking about a couple of years ago. I mean, right before the pandemic happened, I was, you know, going to Norm's event, and I was like holding up a mic and trying my best to get like a 2-minute soundbite of him saying very generic things, or, you know, catching up with Fred at a Foot Locker event, literally sitting in the back room of a Foot Locker, you know, and for 5 minutes, and we're trying to do a little interview there. Like, to go from that to, you know, after joining on at Sportsnet and being able to, right from the start of media day, to talk to Scotty for 15 minutes, to talk to Utah for 15 minutes, Gary, Malachi, Fred, to interview Fred again, to interview Utah again, to get Norm on the phone for 30 minutes. That was a great interview as well. I thought one of my favorites of the year, and then Serge as well. Like, it's been awesome. And I really truly feel thankful for all the support that we have gotten. So thanks everyone for listening once again. The Raptors were able to close out 2021 with a win. They moved to within 2 games of 500. They're getting healthier. And hopefully that is the case for everybody else listening. So please have a safe and responsible New Year's Eve. And I'll check back in when the Raptors play the Knicks in the new year. Cheers.